So before we launch straight into the Buddhist teaching in this Sila Sutta, it's useful to look at what nourishes the factors of enlightenment. This time we'll be looking at the Kundaliya Sutta, so Samyutta Nikaya, chapter 46, discourse number 6. So it's from the Bhujanga Samyutta. And this is where the Buddha taught the wanderer Kundaliya, the insight pathway that leads to true knowledge and liberation. In Pali, this is Vijja Vimukti. And so this is in opposition to nourishing the ignorance pathway. So true knowledge and liberation means understanding the arising and passing away of suffering, and also how to realize the ending of suffering through the development of these things. It's similar, but it's a shorter insight pathway to the Vijja Sutta, and it doesn't really present the other side. So that Vijja Sutta we've mentioned before, we've previously examined it, and we also referred to it in Bhujanga Part 1. So that's Anguttara Nikaya, chapter 10, discourse number 61. So that's similar to this. So I'll read out the extract from the Kundaliya Sutta. Kundaliya, the Tathagata lives for the benefit and fruit of true knowledge and liberation. And then Kundaliya asked the Buddha, but Master Gautama, what things, when developed and cultivated, fulfill true knowledge and liberation? And the Buddha answers, the seven factors of enlightenment, Kundaliya, when developed and cultivated, fulfill true knowledge and liberation. And then Kundaliya pipes up again. But Master Gautama, what things, when developed and cultivated, fulfill seven factors of enlightenment? And the Buddha answers, the four establishments of mindfulness, Kundaliya, when developed and cultivated, fulfill the seven factors of enlightenment. And then he pipes up again. But Master Gautama, what things, when developed and cultivated, fulfill the four establishments of mindfulness? And then the Buddha answers, the three kinds of good conduct, Kundaliya, when developed and cultivated, fulfill the four establishments of mindfulness. And then he pipes up one more time and says, but Master Gautama, what things, when developed and cultivated, fulfill the three kinds of good conduct? And the Buddha kindly answers, restraint of the sense faculties, Kundaliya, when developed and cultivated, fulfills the three kinds of good conduct. So there are a few important points to highlight here to help us to develop a solid foundation to develop the Bhujangas that leads to this true knowledge and liberation, which is Nibbana, really. So firstly, we can see that what nourishes the seven factors of enlightenment is the four establishments of mindfulness. So we know this as Satipatthana. And this is the condition or nourishment for these seven factors of enlightenment. So this is what we'll establish in order to arouse Satisambhujanga and kick off our development of the Bhujangas. We know the Buddha and the noble arahants consistently stated that the four establishments of mindfulness leads to the ending of suffering. So that's particularly in the chapter in Samyutta Nikaya on Satipatthana. Now, those who have been enlightened in the past, will enlighten in the present or will enlighten in the future, do so by giving up the five hindrances and correctly practicing to develop the four establishments of mindfulness and correctly developing the seven factors of enlightenment. So there are suttas that say that. And as we deep dive into the Sila Sutta, I will go through how we do so in accordance with the Buddha's instructions. The second point about this particular insight pathway is about the three kinds of good conduct, so tini sucharitani. And this is the conditional nourishment, as we can see, for the four establishments of mindfulness. So by this, we mean dasakusala, the 10 wholesome or skillful conduct by body, speech, and mind. So we refrain from killing living beings. We don't take what is not given. We refrain from sexual misconduct. We don't take what is not given. I think I said that. So we refrain from lying, from harsh speech, from divisive speech, from frivolous talk. We develop non-ill will, non-covetousness, and of course, we cultivate the right view. So this is how we are virtuous. Now, one of the common questions people ask is around virtue. And they ask questions like, why do we need virtue? How come this sutta is called the Discourse on Virtue when it's about the Bhujangas? What happens if we ignore virtue? And one of the ways to address this is by looking at this particular insight pathway in Kundaliya Sutta. Because essentially, what the Buddha is showing us is that good conduct or virtue is needed because this is how we develop the four establishments of mindfulness. And you might ask why. And it's because being virtuous means we establish the right view. That's part of the mental good conduct. So if we have that, then it enables us to establish the mindfulness really, really well. Now, if we have the wrong view, that means we have the wrong mental conduct, then we develop the wrong path, which includes the wrong mindfulness. And it means we can't arouse the bodhisattvas. Right view discerns what is skillful or wholesome and what's to be cultivated. So when we abandon what is unskillful or unwholesome, that's so we can develop what is skillful and wholesome, that which is rooted in non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. So we've looked at this in many, many sutta meditations. So for example, Pottaliya Sutta or Vatupama Sutta and so on. So in simple terms, we become virtuous in order to develop the Noble Eightfold Path, in order to develop these wholesome dhammas. So it's a very important thing. When we associate with the Buddha, the noble ones, we incline towards good conduct because they have perfect conduct and encourage us to train in higher virtue because they know it's the base for all these wholesome dhammas. And this was also a question that King Milinda asked Venerable Nagasena. Now, even if we were to think just for a moment about how we would conduct ourselves around an arahant, we would certainly not indulge or incline towards unwholesome conduct. We would incline towards being upright. So that means refraining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, the wrong kinds of speech, ill will, covetousness, wrong view. We would feel shameful to cultivate unwholesome things around them. So we can see how conducive to the path it can be to associate with the right kind of company, with good friends, kalyanamittas, who are developing the noble path, and even better if they have perfected the path. Now, in contrast, wrong company or bad friends, papamitata, they encourage us to be negligent, to not make effort to develop and maintain our virtue, to continue with wrong view. So we are prevented from establishing right mindfulness, and therefore we can't arouse the bodhisattvas. And another point is that virtue leads to happiness because it's meritorious, because we've made effort to walk the noble path, something that is hard to do, and also because happiness is the blessing or the benefit of having developed virtue, and ultimately to develop towards the long-lasting happiness of Nibbana. And then the third point to make about this insight pathway is that we can see that restraint of the sense faculties, indriya samvara, is the condition or nourishment for the three kinds of good conduct. And again, the Buddha and the noble ones encourage us to develop sense restraint, whether it's lay people or monastics, because what they understand for any living being is that one doesn't want to pollute the mind. Because when you don't pollute the mind, you're capable of developing more inwardly to contemplate noble dhamma. In this way, the mind gladdens, one becomes happy, and the mind easily concentrates. So we know this as dwelling vigilantly, apamada vihari, rather than dwelling negligently, pamada vihari. And so the connection to good conduct is very, very clear. When we're unrestrained with our senses, we constantly get pulled out into the world. So that means we're no longer withdrawn or secluded from the world. We're no longer secluded from sensual pleasures and defilement. So it makes it harder to actually contemplate noble dhamma when the mind is polluted like that. So what is given in this insight pathway in Kundaliya Sutta is actually very important. It helps us to pull certain dhammas together to see how they're connected. It also shows us that if we ignore these things or miss their importance, then we won't have laid a good foundation for arousing bodhisattvas. So we won't be successful in developing them, nor developing them to fulfillment. So these things are very useful when it comes to diagnosing why we may not be able to arouse the bodhisattvas. So it's good to spend some time making sure we understand these component parts and to follow what the Buddha is instructing.